So the readings given for our reflection this evening. The first reading and the second reading and the response reel, Sam. We closely be attentive to it, we can pick up the theme. The first reading, God says, I will give you a prophet, I will put my words into his mouth, he will speak, and you be attentive to his words. And the response reel, Psalm says, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Second reading, though it's a bit of a disturbing analogy of married man and unmarried woman, St. Paul towards the end says, you know, what I was saying, I'm not saying that you should not get married because you will be divided between your husband and wife. But I'm trying to say, what is this? Do not put a halter around your necks, but simply to make sure that everything is as it should be and that you give your undivided attention to the Lord. So we can pick up this theme. God speaks, we listen, harden not our hearts if he speaks, and give undivided attention. When we come to the gospel, it's about the demons. There's no connection. It's about Jesus driving out the evil spirit and devil. I mean, normally we don't preach about devil in the church. We pick up a spiritual theme and walk around it. But maybe we will speak about the devil. So in the gospel, if you look at the scripture, especially in the gospel, the word that is forces of hell, the word that is used, there are two different words used always in the gospel. Either diabolos or devil, or Satanus, or Satan. So diabolos or Satanus, devil or Satan. These two words are used. Now, in particular reading today, it's used devil, if you look at the Greek. What is the meaning of the devil, diabolos? Diabolos means to divide. Divide between people. To divide among, divide against God, and to divide ourselves within ourselves. That is the target of the devil. The devil's work, his function is to divide. But the function of Satan, it's the opposite. Satan unites. So diabolos means divide. Satanus means to unite. Now, to unite what? To unite a group of people to think in a particular way, in a frenzied way, in a very angry, violent way, and use that mob energy to bring violence in the world. So one is to divide, that is diabolos. Another one is to unite, but for an evil purpose. And that is the teachings when in the gospel we see in Jesus. You see, when Peter says, Jesus, you should not to the cross, he says, get behind me, Satan. Now, why? There is a group of ideology that Jesus is king, he is Messiah, he is the new guy who is going to make the new kingdom. So we want to be a group behind this Messiah and rule in Israel. Now Jesus is attacking the mob mentality where people are united because they have this purpose to achieve something. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Every time people are amazed, they want to make Jesus a king because he worked miracles, he multiplied bread, he healed the sick, and then they wanted to make him king. There is a mob mentality, and Jesus escapes from that because Jesus says there is something satanic in it. The devil is trying to use to bring a different purpose, and what Jesus is doing, something else. Sometimes a person can be used. Suppose, you know, if you look at the history, Aram, I mean, it's history is interpretation. So let me give my interpretation. When the British came to India, they see India is a beautiful country, a lot of spices and jewels. The queen still have the jewels she looted from India. So, well, it's the Indian spirit, okay? I'm probably feeding into your spirit against the monarchy. Well, when the British came to India, they wanted to somehow rule India. But it was very hard. Though it was diverse in its culture, diverse in its language, they couldn't find a way through. So in 1905, they decided, we will divide this country. The first division was on religion, Hinduism and Muslims. They divided and made Bangladesh. They divided and made another guy called Muhammad Jinnah, the leader of Muslims, and eventually they became Pakistan. The first division was divide them on religion. The second division was divide them on culture. They made India into little country towns, and they made kings in those country towns. To some kings, the British gave favors. Some other kings, they didn't give any favor, and they became in war. So easily, into the weakness of division, the British people ruled India. Divide and rule. To unite, divide a generation and unite them for a wrong purpose. To loot them, to exploit them. Sorry. To bring your colonies' ideals into that particular nation. If you look at Hitler, Hitler accused the Jews for the loss of World War I and the economic crisis at that time in Germany. He accused them, and he kind of he told everyone, he propagated everywhere that it is because the Jews that we lost World War I and the economic crisis. In 1932, he proclaimed, "If you elect me as the leader, I will annihilate this race and I will bring economic prosperity to the country." In 1933, when he became the leader, he did that. Now, there is a story. He was born in Austria and brought up in Vienna, and his mayor had a strong anti-Semitic attitude. So Hitler was born and brought up into anti-Semitic attitude. But also, he had this particular mentality within him that somehow Aryan race was big and the Jews was inferior race. Germans were the superior race, so we have to get rid of them. Now, one person's evil thinking, he created a mob. He created a mob to think in a particular way, to become frenzied and scapegoating kind of thinking. And then he attacked a different group of people. Again, the Satan. He unites unite people, and people all think we are uniting for a moral cause. But the way it comes out can be through evil ways and violent ways. You look at Boko Haram, Nigeria. They are the terrorist group. Now, in Boko Haram, there may be rules and regulations. Every morning, they will have morning prayer, evening prayer, night prayer. They will have, they will love each other. But what is their cause? It is an evil cause. They're fighting against things in Nigeria. They're attacking women and children. They're kidnapping them. Look at Taliban. It is some kind of frenzied group targeting particular societies. They want control on it. And how they take control on it? They go into schools, kill innocent children. 149 kids were killed in Pakistan. Taliban, a mob, frenzied with anger and particular motivation. And they think they are conquering the world. But it's actually who is at work in the evil force. Satan unites for a wrong purpose. If you look at ISIS, what do? They say we are bringing a nation, we want particular laws. But the means they are achieving, they're killing innocent people, bringing violence into it, raping women. That again, being united by Satan, satanic forces at work in it. He unites to bring violence, to bring their greed and selfishness into action. But in our everyday life, it probably the diabolus, the divide, the division that he brings in our lives. When we act upon selfishness, when I become greedy in my priesthood, or when I become so possessive about my church, my ministry, that's the time my heart will become divided. It is, you know, the biggest weapon of the enemy, the devil or the Satan, is envy. Envy and jealousy. The moment I become selfish and full of hatred in my life, that's when the forces are at work. He brings division. In my workplace, when I started to gossip against my boss and get my colleague to speak against him, there the forces of devil is at work. Because he won. He brings division. When I gossiped against my boss and got my friend to think in that same way and divided him and the boss, of course I won. The forces of division at work. In family, extended family gossips, you probably know these things. In communities, in ministries, these two forces divide, unite, but all for selfish purposes. In the midst of this, God says only one thing. If you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Never ever in the ministry of Jesus, he never gave in to people's ambition. They wanted to make him king. Some disciples came and, I can sit on your left, I can sit on your right, we will massage your legs. No. Jesus said, no, it's all about my Father. One important thing probably in the midst of all the voices that divide us, in the midst of all the voices that make us angry and go and fight for some cause, the one thing gospel asks us to listen. Listen. Listen to our wounds. As a priest, I know in my ministry, thanks to my spiritual direction, when I behave in a particular way, when a lot of anger and hatred and a lot of envy comes in my way, it helps me to listen. Why am I so angry? Why am I behaving like that? Why do I want to be like that? Then the more I listen, I come to the root cause of these things and say, it is not from God. It is the force that is trying to divide. Divide me from God, divide me from my brothers and sisters. How important it is to listen to the voice that leads to life and love. And sadly, through mass media communication, these days you put out there on a Facebook message, everyone will come gather together, like in Egypt they fight against the regime through violence and attack and riots. People can say it is a good cause, but it is probably the forces of Satan at work in it. Unite, but bring violence. To whom do we listen? Another question. To listen, do I have space in my life? That is a question that I have to ask myself. Do I have enough space in my life that I can listen to the voice of God? Or am I boiling every day with envy and jealousy, anger, hatred, what they did to me when I was a child, what they did to me when I was working with them, or those people did this to me, those families did this to me. I am full of all these voices. I am hurting inside of myself. I have so many inner wounds which tells me to divide, which tells me to unite. How can I listen to the voice of God? And the voice of God from last week's gospel, we know, metanoia, repent and believe in the kingdom of God. Repent. Come back to me. Listen to my voice. I cry out in the wilderness. Listen to my voice. Come back to me. The voice of life and love. Let's have space for God. Let's have interior peace like Jesus.
not being manipulated by the frenzy of the crowd to make him king, but he escaped to go to the other side of the Galilee, and in the bush he prayed and listened to the Father, and Father's voice led him to the cross. The people's voice must have led him to the throne, but he would never become the Messiah, the Savior. But the Father's voice helped him to know his purpose and his will. Father's voice help him to unite everyone through his great sacrifice. Whose voice am I listening? Do I have enough space in my life so that God can speak into my life? Amen.